Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Savior. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful I can call upon that name any point in time. Man, he's as close as the mention of his name. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 103. Psalms 103 is a unique chapter. If I could just tell you here tonight that the chapter is 22 verses long, and it's the same number of verses as there are letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Nobody knows that David was trying to put a verse per letter. Nothing follows that. But it's just unique in how it does that. Nobody knows exactly when that David wrote it, other than that they just simply said it's a psalm of David. You perceive that he wrote it in his end years and not in his weaker times because of the revelation that comes through all of this. And it is perhaps one of the most perfect songs of pure praise found in the Bible. It is called an envelope psalm, simply because it starts one way, such as, bless the Lord, O my soul, and it ends, bless the Lord, O my soul. And its content is enveloped in the middle of all of that. And so we begin reading at verse number 1, and the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God. We're going to stop right there. And I simply want to preach to you here tonight. We'll just see how far that we get. I want to preach to you about the imperative and the declarative psalms. Amen. The imperative and the declarative psalms. Praise God. I would that you would just ask the Lord to help you here tonight. Amen. Would you just lift up your voice? Father, we want exactly what you have got for us. We want your spirit to speak expressly. We want the power of the Holy Ghost to minister and to move in this place. We want you to deal with us. We want this word to get down inside of our hearts. God, I do not want it to be just lip service. I do not want this to be just a surface relationship. I do not want this to fall upon deaf ears. But, oh, Lamb of God, I would that it would get down deep inside the hearts of every one of us tonight. Help us, Lord, not only to see it, but to comprehend. Not only to hear it, but to understand. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Praise God. Just go ahead and put your hands together and magnify the King of Kings today. Father, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm so indebted to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Praise God. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. I am going to There are some areas in this that I am going to rather quickly go through, and it's just simply because I've already preached some of them. But several months ago, the Lord began to deal with me concerning a subject that I knew that I was digging in, but I did not have the fullness of the understanding in that yet. And God began to bring it out and began to direct my attention. And I did what they say not to do. I took this message down to the Star Conference in November, 1st of November of last year, and never preached it before, and I preached it there. It was the Alpha there, and God helped us out, and I have been looking forward to preaching it here, and we have been in revival, and we've been in seasons and holiday seasons and such, and kind of getting back around and sickness and such. And Brother Ward was here. And so anyways, here it is here tonight. And I feel very, very strongly, very, very strongly about this word here today. Praise God. Amen. I think that it is important to understand that praise and worship is the order of every day. Everybody say every day. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, amen, not just on some youth service Friday night or some youth rally, whatever, some special service somewhere, but praise and worship is the order of every day. In the book of Revelations, chapter number 4 and verse number 8, the Bible teaches us and talks to us about four beasts, and these four beasts are sitting around the throne, and their eyes, they were full of eyes within. And the Bible said, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And the Bible said that when the beast give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne. Now, let me just stop. Let me just stop and interject that. Amen. We know that the Trinitarians love that triune song right there. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and blessed Trinity. And this is where they get it from. But look, right here it says, and he says, they gave glory and honor and thanks to him, not them. Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And then the Bible said that there were 24 elders that fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that live forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thus thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And so if my studying through the Bible is correct, I'm going to tell you today that there's more than just 24 plus 4 in the heavens. For the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter number 12 that there is an innumerable company of angels. So many that you can't even number them. Amen. I think that all of us can count to 144,000. And it might take us a little while, but we could count to 144,000. And somebody says, what's that got to do with it? Well, that's what the Jehovah Witnesses believe. They believe that only 144,000 are going to go to heaven. Amen. The Bible said that there is an innumerable company of angels. There's four beasts. There's 24 elders. And then the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter number 7, that there is a great multitude which no man can number. A great multitude which no man could number. Revelation 7:11. Angels set about the throne, about the elders, about the beast. Isaiah chapter number 6 speaks of the seraphim and the standing up near the throne, praising God with six wings. Two they flew, two they, amen, hid their face, and two they hid their feet. And the Bible said that they all cried, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, and blessings and honor, glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. That is what is happening in heaven even this night. And that's what's going to happen in heaven for eternity. And so this lets us know what the will of God for heaven is. The will of God is that all that are there are worshiping the Lord. Now, the Bible speaks to us in the book of Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 10 when he was talking about, amen, the Lord's Prayer. And there in the end he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Whatever the will of God is for heaven, amen, it ought to be the same upon the face of the earth. Praise God. Amen. And so from there we see that there was an eviction, and Lucifer is kicked out of heaven, and then he begins to try his very best to redirect the praise of those that are upon the face of the earth from the Creator unto the creature or the creation. Joshua chapter number 24 and 15, he said, amen, that they would choose this day whom thou would serve, whether the gods which your father that served on the other side of the flood. What flood? Noah and his ark. So he speaks of the plurality of gods even before Noah and the ark. And he said that they should choose unto them that day which god that they would serve, the gods that are on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites. That just lets us know that there was shortage of gods to be found in that day and time. Exodus chapter number 20. I'm moving quickly, but you'll thank me later. Praise God. God spake the word, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which put thee in the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Amen. Why? Because there were other gods within the land. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in the heaven above and that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them." Can you imagine serving an idol? But that is a commandment that God put in the word, telling people to refrain from serving idols. Amen. And then in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, this had to go in there because there was a problem. And he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God." We're not talking about the gods of the Amorites and the gods of the Hittites, amen, and the Havasites and all the other things. He said, "The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." Praise God. Exodus chapter number 34. He had to put in some other rules because there were things that were happening. Amen. And again, we keep and bear in mind that there is Satan, Lucifer, and that he is trying to redirect the praise from God unto something else, whether it is the gods of the world or the gods of somebody or idols or whatever it is. He just wants people to stop worshiping God. And so in 34, he said, "Observe that which I command you this day. I drive out the Amorite and the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself that thou make a covenant with thee, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whether thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But you shall destroy their altars. You shall break their images and cut down their groves." God said there's no place for idolatry when it comes to living for God. There's no place for idolatry if you're going to be a child of God. He said, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous. He is a jealous God. And so he let us know that there was no room for idolatry, even that though there are many benefits of idolatry. Because you see, amen, that when you begin to shape your religion however that you want to, you are in essence creating idolatry, an idol to worship. Amen. Let me just say that you can make that idol as elaborate or as common as you want it to be. You may not be making some image that you're going to set on a fireplace mantle somewhere, but just listen to me today. You can design its features. You can design its abilities. You can design its powers, its likes and its dislikes to your specifications. You can serve it whenever you want to. You can serve it whenever it's convenient. You can take some time for an idol to be crafted, and you can give the time and the patience, and that idol just does not care. But I've come to tell you today that any method, whether it is a physical idol or a spiritual mentality, any method that we practice that conforms God into our likes and into our dislikes and makes him something other than he is a form of idolatry. Praise God. Amen. An idol doesn't care if you're late or if you're on time. Amen. God does. An idol doesn't care if you worship or if you don't. God does. An idol doesn't care if you miss a day here or there. God does. And so if you've got a mentality that says, it doesn't matter if I worship today, you're in idolatry. You're not in true worship. We've got to worship, amen, here on earth, even as it is done in the heavens. I think it would be good if we would just lift our voice and praise him today. There ought to be a red flag that goes up in your life when you begin to hear somebody as they are trying to sway your allegiance. Maybe not your allegiance unto God, but when they begin to tell you that all of that is not so important, and they begin to tell you that God doesn't care, and they begin to tell you that that's not really important to God, I would go to say today to tell you that they probably have an idol in their house. I'm not talking about the physical idol, but I am saying that they have conformed God, even calling him Jesus Christ, but yet they have conformed him into something that he is not. Amen. They have designed his abilities. Amen. They have designed his likes and his dislikes. They have designed his faithfulness. They have designed his character. Amen. God doesn't care if we cuss a little here on Tuesday or on Thursday. God doesn't care that we're perverted on Monday and Friday. God doesn't care, amen, that we're here a little and off, here a little, off a little, here and off a little there. God doesn't care. But what really matters, amen, is that in deep inside of our hearts, we really love God. That's not what my Bible says. And what you have done is you have conformed the God Almighty into something that fits what you like and what you, not what God likes and what God dislikes, but what you like, what you want him to be, what you don't want him to be. I'm not conforming him into my image. I am conformed in his image. I want to be conformed in his spiritual image. I want to learn to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. And the Bible says that there are six things that God doth hate, and a seventh is an abomination unto him. I want to get it in my heart. I want to get it in my spirit. I want to hate this world, not the people that are in the world, but the sin that's in the world. I want to love God with all of my heart, all of my soul, mind, and my strength. And I want every devil in hell to know I'm in love with him. I want him to know I love him on Monday. I love him on Tuesday. I love him on Wednesday. I love him on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. With everything that is in me, I love God. I want to
gonna live for him. I'm gonna live for him because I love him. You don't have to be so emphatic. Amen. If God had been as good to you as he's been to me, you would be emphatic. Because when I was in the depths of sin, God loved me. God brought me out. God changed me. God gave me hope. God gave me life. God resurrected my dreams. I've got something to live for today.
Praise God. Amen. Let me just bring this forward to your attention today. Amen. Help us, Jesus. Everything in life that is important to us, we dress up for. Somebody saying he ain't going there. I'm going there. I'm going there. Now, if you come in from work and you're dead tired and you're just trying to make it to church, you come. You come to church. If your hands are dirty, you can stop by the lavatory there in the bathrooms. You can wash your hands and cleanse yourself up, but you come to church. Praise God. It's that important to God. He said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves. But this world, God said, it don't matter. It don't matter. That's idolatry. Amen. But I got to see in some of the pictures, amen, at the presidential inauguration, I didn't see one person there in tore jeans. I didn't see one person there in, amen, dirty clothes and all that other stuff. As a matter of fact, I believe it was the vice president's mother, maybe. I don't know exactly who it was. But she was standing up there with him, amen, while he was doing his swearing in. And they said, you know what? This is so great because she doesn't have such a great past. But yet she went to somewhere like Target or Belk or something like that. And she got a nicer top and some, amen, a nicer bottom and stuff. Why? She was going to something that was important. When you consider something that's important in your life, if you was going to that inauguration, amen, you would dress up in your best duds. That's why I dress up when I come to church. It's important to me. You say, why is it important? It pulled me off of the road of wrong. It pulled me off of the road of hell. I was on my way to a devil's hell, but God took time and he stopped by my way and he changed my direction. God has been good to me. Praise God. I'm not telling you that you got to wear a suit and a tie and all that other stuff. I'm just saying, amen, that ought to be our desire. I'm going before the presence of the King of Kings. Amen, the Lord of Lords, the God Almighty. It's greater than a 5-star restaurant where they say you got to dress up to come in. I'm getting more in this place than I'm going to get at the best restaurant that the world can offer. The best chef can't cook up a meal like my God can. He knows how to feed my soul. He knows how to feed my heart. He knows how to sustain me. He knows how to get me from here to there. I just want to show my appreciation, love, and adoration to the Master. Praise God. I want you to think about this. It doesn't matter if you're Russian, Australian, Chinese, or some type of Native American. Every culture gets dressed up to go to some important occasion. All of them. And God hates, despises, loathes idolatry for the simple reason that it directs praise and worship from the Creator unto the creature or to the creation. You can go to Romans chapter number 1. We're not going to take the time to go there. But that's the purpose of it all. There is war. There is war. God's looking for those that would worship him. The Bible says in spirit and in truth. And the enemy, the adversary, is trying to stop people from worshiping God. providing them an idol. Isaiah chapter number 40 said, even he that is so impoverished that he hath no money, he will find himself a tree that will not rot, and he will overlay it with gold and silver, and or he'll give it to the goldsmith and have him to overlay it with gold and silver and chains. Amen. He's gonna do everything. He's gonna give. He's gonna sacrifice everything that he has, so that he can have just a simple tree that will not rot. Does not have ears to hear, has no eyes to see, has no arms to reach, has no hands to feel, has no heart to love. But they will give everything. Amen. I've just described the gods of this world. Alcohol, drugs, immorality, and all kinds of other things. It's not there, but it is in God Almighty. Praise God. Praise God. I could spend time to talk about Pharaoh, and his whole agenda was just simply, when Moses came and said, let my people go that they may go worship, or they may sacrifice unto me. Pharaoh just simply said, look, if you got time to go worship, you're not working hard enough. And so his goal was to make them too tired to go worship. He's still doing that to this day. I'm just too tired. I can't come to church. I'm just too tired. That's Pharaoh's agenda. That's his whole agenda. We need to be able to see through that. Why? Because there's strength when you come to the house of God. God knows what you're going to face and what you're going to go through. Amen. God's going to help you get through that. We're skipping on. And so we come to this man by the name of David, the psalmist. And we pick him up in 1 Samuel chapter number 16 as Samuel sends Samuel down to Jesse's house to anoint a new king, in that Saul had been rejected by the Lord. And so Samuel comes to this man by the name of Eliab and looks upon him, and he says, oh, look at his stature. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. And God said, don't look at his outside. And so he looked at Abinadab and Shammah and all of the other sons of Jesse. And God said, And Samuel, not understanding, he looks at Jesse and he said, well, do you have another son? Is there yet another one? And Jesse said, well, there is one, but he's down out in the fields, and he's just a little teenager out there. And so Samuel said, well, we're not going to sit down until he comes. And so somebody runs and gets David. Now, Eliab came, and he was big and hawky and mighty like Brother Daniel. And then here comes David, and the Bible said that God told Samuel, don't look at Eliab's countenance. And now here comes David. And the first thing that Samuel wants to do is like, I don't know about this. Why? Because the Bible said that he was just a ruddy fella. Just a ruddy young guy. Kind of like me. And so, you know, Samuel was just like, And the Lord said, anoint him. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? And the Lord said, no, you're not seeing what I'm seeing. Because the Bible said that God said, I'm not looking at the outside. I'm looking at his heart. At his heart, huh? Yeah. Now this is history, okay? We see 1 Samuel, and then we see 2 Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. All right, we're back to David. No, a lot of this happened right here. And you know what one thing did happen? Psalms 23. It happened right there with David, a young person. And you know what he was doing? He was tending his father's sheep. He may have already been anointed king, but he may have not been anointed king. But he was in the field. And he's out there with his harp. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. And he goes on and he talks about, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. And he goes on, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And here's God in the heavens looking down at David and saying, that's what I want to hear. That's what I'm looking for. The book of Acts says that the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. Was something about wherever David was, God's ear was tuned in. Because David was writing a new song. David was giving new praise. And I know that there were times that he would be in the dark, dank caves. And he would write a different song saying, God, where are you? And God would say, I'm right here. And David would say, though I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. Or if I ascend on the wings of eagles and arise to the heights, you're still going to be with me. There was revelation that was gained because of the hardships. There was strength that was put into the relationship because of the good times. It didn't matter if it was good or bad. David was still talking to God. I understand sometimes he was questioning God. And he was saying, God, are you going to let my enemies destroy me? Amen. And God said, just hang on. I'm going to give you a new revelation. And when you come through that new revelation, you're going to have a new song. And so God looked past this ruddy little individual and listen to the heartbeat of him. And it was the praise and the worship of David that attracted the attention of God Almighty. God looked past Samuel's, surely this is the Lord's anointed. God looked past the mighty countenances and the appearances and the wonderful things that Samuel was able to see. And he looked past the ruddy individual. And the thing that he saw that attracted him unto David was when you boil it all down, Samuel would look at him, and this is just my point of view. Samuel would say, I don't see what you see. And God says, I see a praiser. I see a worshiper. And that's what I want to be, the king of my people. I want a praiser to be king. I want a worshiper to be king. He may not be of a specific tribe. Amen. But it doesn't matter. He's got a heart that is after me. And that's what God is looking for when he comes into our lives. You may not have everything right. You may not have the countenance and the wonderful things about you. But God is looking for a heart that is seeking after him diligently. Well, surely the pastor can see my talent and the wonderful things that I can bring to the table. Amen. You can look serious. You can look religious. You can look pious. But God looks for praisers, because God loves praisers. Amen. Samuel, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. That's the Old Testament. We get into the New Testament, and the Bible said the hour is come, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. God loves your voice. God loves it. Sometimes you be on key. Sometimes you're off key. Amen. Sometimes you got joy. Sometimes you got tears. But I just want you to know that when you're worshiping God, God's looking down past your situation. God's looking past the demons that are haunting you. And God is saying, I see you, son. I see you, son. Just keep praising. I don't really feel like praising right now, but I want all of hell to know I'm not gonna stop. I'm not gonna quit. I'm not putting down my sword and shield. I'm not putting down my worship. If everything goes to hell, I've got to keep my worship. Praise God. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Praise God. That was my introduction. Opening statements. Now let's get into the message. The imperative and declarative Psalms. Something that caught my attention reading it, and I didn't see it. It arrested my attention, but I didn't see it. I just knew there's something there. And the Lord began to talk to me through time about this. And even when I saw it, I didn't understand it. Oh, I see it, but I don't know what it is. And in all reality, I can't point back to a certain thing, but there was something that triggered. And I don't know if I was reading a book and something said imperative, an imperative clause or declarative clause or whatever. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Back up. Let me see this again. I'm like, that's it. An imperative is simply vital importance, giving an authoritative command. Peremptory. Imperative is verbs used to give orders and commands. Give directions and instructions. Imperative is verbs used to make requests or to give advice or just simple suggestions. Imperative is verbs used to give warnings, or maybe it's just simply to invite someone. Imperative sentences and clauses are used to give commands. Declarative, on the other hand, is just simply making a declaration. And so, if I could explain it to you today, there are both of these throughout, mixing throughout the book of Psalms. Imperative Psalms, declarative Psalms. For example, how many times have we heard this said? Let's give the Lord a Psalms 47 and 1. Anybody know what that is? It just simply says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph." You know what that means? That simply means, I don't care how you feel, just do it. That is imperative. That is a command. And so the writer, when he was writing that, he was not offering that as a suggestion. He did not say, "I think it would be good if." He said, "Do it." He said, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph." There's many, 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 many other imperative psalms that we would see, such as Psalms chapter number 100 and beginning at verse number 1. He said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Now that right there is mixed with declaration. He said, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." We're declaring. "It is he that hath made us," declaring. "Not we ourselves. We are his people," declaring. "And the sheep of his pasture," imperative. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good," declarative. "And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth unto all generations." One of the most famous imperative psalms of all times, Psalms chapter number 150, as he begins and he just simply says in a commanding way, "Praise ye the Lord." Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Every bit of that was imperative. Amen. 12 times there is a volatile interjection used to give a command or to make a request, simply saying, praise him. Do it. I didn't ask. Just do it. Amen. He didn't say, now on a good day or a bad day, you may consider this. He said, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for his mighty acts. Amen. These are just simple commandments that are given unto us. You've got to do this. Psalms 149, the preceding chapter. Amen. He starts off similar ways. And he says, praise ye the Lord. And he commands them and says, sing unto the Lord a new song. And praise his name, or praise in the congregation of the saints. He said, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrels and harps. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. That's declarative. And he will beautify the meek with salvation. Imperative. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon the judgment written. This honor hath all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. Did you know that the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? 1 Peter, amen, he speaks it. And he says it's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. Every scripture is given by inspiration of God. God said, I want this in scripture. I want this in writing. Amen, write it down. He told one of the prophets, write in the book. Amen, other places. Amen, he moved upon them. And they began to write as the Holy Ghost began to pin this upon them. Amen. The Psalms that we have read, the imperative Psalms that we have read, are no less anointed, no less unctioned by God than any other scripture that is in the Bible. God is saying, I desire, I want you to praise me. And somebody's got a revelation that kicks in and says, it's got to go beyond how you feel. It's got to go beyond your circumstance, beyond your situation. In spite of how you feel, you've got to praise God. You don't feel like it every day, but no matter, you still have got to praise God. Amen. God didn't give you a bad day. God didn't make your boss cuss you out. God didn't make your boss make you do extra work. That's the enemy trying to wear out the saints of the Most High. God has been good to you. You ought to praise him. You ought to clap your hands. You ought to lift your voice. You ought to make a joyful noise. And the psalmist says, it's a commandment. I'm telling you, do it, whether you feel like it or not. And I know that there are little questions that are going off in your mind as you're thinking to yourself, why? Amen. Why is it that I've got to be commanded? Why is it that God would be so, amen, plain? Why is it that God would be so bold and blunt and say, praise me? God didn't say it. David said it. Hezekiah said it. Another said it. Asaph said it. Amen. You know why they said it? Because God moved upon them. And they got a revelation. And the revelation is simply this. There will be days in my life that I just don't feel like coming to church. There will be days in my life that I do not feel like worshiping God. There will be days that I'm going to come to church. Amen. And I've had a bad day. And I don't feel joyful. I don't feel like raising my hands. I don't feel like clapping my hands. I don't feel like running. I don't feel like jumping. I don't feel like doing it. You need the unction of the Holy Ghost, the commandment of God. You need the word of God that says, hey, in spite of your situation, you've got to kick it to the curb and you've got to praise. You need these times in your life. You need the, and God knew it. God knew that there would be days that you don't feel like it. But God was saying, in spite of the times that you don't feel like it, do it anyway and see if I will not come forth through for you. Praise God. Amen. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I preached about a big case of I don't feel like it. I got a big case of I just don't feel like it. You may not feel like sowing today, but you ain't going to have a harvest come harvest season then. And so you've got to get up. And I talked about the pictures of that tractor out there in the field when it's dark and when it's 20 degrees. And he's in that tractor. Yeah, he may have heat in there. He may not. But nevertheless, it's dark. He could be at home eating. He could be in bed and be warm. But he's out there and he's saying, you know what? I don't feel like doing this. But if I don't do this, there's not going to be harvest in the future. Can I just say to you tonight that if you fail to praise God today, it's going to be harder tomorrow. The devil just keeps drawing that noose, keeps wrapping it tighter and tighter and tighter because he doesn't want you to praise God. And the next time that you come, you got to try to break out of that. You got to try to break through that. Amen. If God sees that you won't, amen. If the devil sees that you won't praise God because you've got a toe ache, guess what? You're going to have a toe ache every Wednesday and every Sunday. Amen. If the devil sees that you won't praise God because, amen, of stress on the job, guess what? You're getting ready to be stressed out. Amen. When the devil sees what it costs, amen, that he's got to pay to get you to stop praising, he's going to start shucking out the bills and saying, oh yeah, yeah, heap on. Hey man, can you make that biggie size on, dump it right on them? And all these things begin to happen because God, because the devil does not want you to praise. And God said, I knew that was going to happen. And so in my word, I have put it into my people in spite of, hey man, everything that you're going through and how that you feel, you just simply got to lift your voice and praise the Almighty God. But it does not stop there. It does not stop there. We get into the declarative psalms, declaring things. And declarative psalms come from revelation. The more you go through, the more revelation you're going to have. The greater song and the greater victory and the greater praise you'll have on the other side. David would say in Psalms 8, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. He said, when I considered the heavens and the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, I thought to myself, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou would visit him? Psalms 34 and 1, David didn't say, praise the Lord or bless the Lord. He declared it. He said,
I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then he changed to imperative, and he told somebody else. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. In Psalms 122:1, David would say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 63:1, oh God, thou art my God, and early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth after thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and the glory. So have I seen, amen, thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands, amen, in thy name. Psalms 91:1, he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strong tower, my God, in whom I will trust. I feel the Holy Ghost here this tonight. Amen. What David was saying, I got a revelation. I don't have to have a preacher tell me to praise God all the time. I don't have to have a prime minister in the church trying to pump and prime me and get the water flowing. I don't have to have a fast song. I don't have to have a tear jerking song. I've got a praise because I've got a revelation. I said, I've got a revelation. God is my refuge and my fortress. It does not matter what I'm going through. I've got a God that is my refuge and my fortress, and in him will I trust. Oh, praise God. And then we come to our text, Psalms 103. The mixture of where imperative mixes with declarative. It's like mixing red paint with blue paint, and you get purple paint, and all of a sudden you can never separate the components again to have red paint and blue paint. You've just forever got purple paint. And it is in Psalms 103 that we see the perfect image of the imperative becoming declarative. And David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. I want you to know you need to get a revelation of this tonight. Amen. David was not talking to his compadre sitting by the side. David was not talking to Asaph sitting by the side saying, write this song. David was not talking to friend. David was not talking to somebody else. He was talking to his soul. He was saying, soul, you know too much to sit there silent. Soul, you've been through too much. You've experienced too much just to sit there with a spirit of entitlement and say, God, you just ought to bless me. Because David said, no. I'm going to set my soul down, and I'm speaking to myself. I don't need a preacher to command me to do it. I've got the word, and I'm going to command myself to do it. And he said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits. Woo. Soul, isn't that what the rich man did?
rich man looked at his barns. He tore down his small barns and built bigger barns. And he said, soul, how come he can speak to his soul and David can't speak to his soul? Rich man looked at him. He said, soul, take thine ease and rest. David said, He said, soul, you're going to bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You don't get a day off. You know why? Because you are going to remember the benefits of God. When you had no food upon the table, somehow or another, somebody came knocking. Amen. Somebody came calling and said, are you home? I want to bring you by some groceries. Amen. When the bill collector was calling and you didn't have the money to pay. Amen. And then all of a sudden you got a notice in the mail and they said, thank you for your payment. And you said, how did that happen? When the doctor said, it's a blood disease. And then the doctor says, I don't understand it. When the doctor says, this is your prescription. And then the doctor says, how do I explain it? You can see better now. When the cardiologist says, this is your heart. But later the cardiologist says, I don't understand it. David says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and don't forget his benefits. The Bible says that he loadeth his benefits upon us daily. When I wake up, there's new mercy. When I wake up, there's life. When I wake up, there's hope. When I wake up, God is loading me with benefits. Oh soul, don't forget his benefits. If you're having a hard time living for God, if you're having a hard time praising God, you're not remembering his benefits. You're not remembering where he brought you from. You're not remembering the God, amen, the God that gave you raises after raise after raise. When God was giving you raises, you was waving your hands and saying, thank God. God, you're good to me. But now it's been a little while. Amen. He's still got benefits and he'll still give you benefits in the future. But you've got to praise him in spite of a situation. David says, soul, you cannot sit idle. You've got to bless the Lord. Now, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Imperative. And then he pours all of that red paint into the blue, and he gets something royal. Royal out of it. He says, let me tell you, soul, about the benefits of God. Who forgiveth all of thine iniquities. You didn't deserve that. You got stuff in your life that nobody knows of. You got stuff in your life that you're ashamed of, that if it came out, you would blush, you would leave. Let me just tell you something funny. Maybe I'm going to kill the spirit here. But we had a man in our church. He had recently gotten the Holy Ghost. And we started worshiping, praising God, and he was so excited. He threw his hands up in the air. Oh, God. And when he did, his pants hit the floor. Yeah. And there he was in his whitey tidies. What you say, why did you tell me that? Because he reached down, he pulled up his pants, and he said, I don't care if I ever come back to church here. And it wasn't because people were laughing at him. It's because he was shamed. He was embarrassed. And I said that to say this. If everybody knew everything that you had done in your life, you would feel the exact same way. I ain't ever coming back to church here.
I don't ever want to come back here. Shame and embarrassment because the things that you thought that nobody could find, nobody could see, that nobody knew. And all of a sudden, for some reason or another, it got brought out in the open. And you think to yourself, forget it. I ain't coming back here. Those people know everything about me. I can never look at them the same way. Never look at them in the same way. Amen. And this is what David is saying. David's saying, soul, amen, you don't forget his benefits. Who forgiveth all of your iniquities. You're embarrassed by your iniquities. You're embarrassed by your sins. You're embarrassed of some of the things that you did. And God took an eraser like on a whiteboard and he just wiped it off. Amen. And the Bible said that he justified you. And that simply means just as it never happened, he wiped it clear, blotting the handwriting of ordinances that was against him. He covered in blood. These are the benefits. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. The benefits. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve that, but I can't forget that. He picked me up out of the slums. He took off my homeless garb and he clothed me in royalty. And he said, you're my son now. We've been adopted into the family of God. I don't deserve it that way, but that's a benefit of the kingdom. And I can never, ever forget it. He said, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Oh, yeah. That's the benefits of the Lord. Psalms 121:1. David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Let's stand here tonight. David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. You know what the problem is with some people? You're not lifting up your eyes. You're just focusing upon your problems. You're focusing on your troubles. You're focusing on lack of money. You're focusing on lack of health. You're focusing on lack of this. You're focusing on this problem. You're focusing upon all these other things. And David said, I've got benefits that goes beyond all of this. And instead of focusing upon my problem and my issue, I'm going to lift up my head unto the hills from which cometh my help. David, how can you praise God in your current situation? He said, I'm not looking at my current situation. That doesn't mean that your current situation is not jumping up in front of you saying, hey, 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 hey. Yeah. No, that it'll do that. Somewhere or another, you got to look beyond all of that unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Praise God. When you know that help is on the way, you can lift up your eyes unto the hills. I'm telling you, church, we need a greater revelation of who that God is. You know why I say that? Because too often we have a problem with praise. You don't know how many times as a pastor that I step to this desk and I try to rally up praise. I say, let's worship God in praise. I put the microphone down and step down. It's like all the praise and worship just goes. And I want to stop everything. And I want to come back and say, no. The only reason that you were lifting your voice was because I said to do it. The only reason that you were clapping your hands was because I said, oh, clap your hands, all you people. The only reason that you were lifting your voice was because I said, shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
The only reason that you were praising was because I said, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And as a pastor, I want to hammer that. You know why? Because God's bigger than that. And God deserves more than that. You know what that is? That's cheer-led worship. Let me explain it. Give me a V. Give me an I. Give me a C. Give me a T. Give me an O. Give me an R. Give me a Y. What does that spell? Victory. Woo! And then everybody calms down. And then the next show goes. That's cheer-led worship. And I'm not saying give me a V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I'm saying let's lift our hands and praise God. Imperative. Let's lift our voice and magnify God. Imperative. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Imperative. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Imperative. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Imperative. But you know what? You need that. Because you don't always feel like worshiping God. It's in there for a reason. But if that's the only reason, and if that's the only time that you can really praise and worship God, then there are problems. I'm not going to say that you're not praising and you're not worshiping, but you're very, very shallow. There isn't a declarative that somewhere or another, that's where we've got to get into it, where the red imperative is poured into the blue declarative, and all of a sudden we've got something that's royal. Royal. Somewhere, oh, here's what I'm saying, is somewhere or another, imperative has got to become declarative praise. You're not worshiping only because I told you to clap your hands. That was just, gentlemen, start your engines. Amen. And that's just putting it in gear. And you begin to clap. But then something begins to boil up in your spirit. Amen. And you begin to say, oh yeah, soul, you are going to bless the Lord. Oh my soul. And you're not going to forget his benefits. Because he forgave you of all of your iniquities. And he heals all of your diseases. And he redeems your life from destruction. And crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't forget his benefits. Somewhere another new life. Our praise has got to get beyond just simple imperative. To somebody says, you know what? Hey man, he just said, let's stand and let's worship the Lord. Declarative, I'm going to the front because this is in my heart. This is my life. This is who I am. I'm a worshiper. I'm a praiser. Hey man, but don't you see what's going on in your life? Yes, I do. But I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. The devil wants me to sit down in sackcloth and ashes, but I'm going to put on the garment of praise. Amen. My pastor or the song leader may have had to stir me up a little bit, but I'm not going to forget his benefits. God is good to me. This church is going to go to new heights. This church is going to go to new places because somebody's going to get a revelation. I'm not worshiping because somebody told me to. I'm not clapping because somebody told me to. I'm not rejoicing because somebody told me to. Amen. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Paul said, and again I say unto you, rejoice. Paul, you don't have to tell.
allow me to rejoice. I thank you for telling me, but I'm not forgetting his benefits. I am going to declare his goodness. I am going to declare his goodness in praise and in worship. I am going to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I'm going to lift up my eyes, for he is my refuge and my fortress. In God I will trust. Come on, this service is yours. I feel like anything can happen here tonight. You're getting a revelation. I feel like anything can happen here tonight. Hey man, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. I can tell you to worship. I can tell you to praise. I can tell you to lift him up. But if you'll get beyond imperative and begin to get into declarative praise, there's going to be something that's going to transform your life.